Blog Talk Radio.
Staples knows that when the leave behinds for your sales call get left behind at your office, it's time. When you need to print 30 pages and you're 300 miles from the office, it's time. And when the intern packed the Harrington file, not the Farrington file.
Oh, my bad.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when you can count on Staples. Access your files from email, the cloud, or USB, and then print, copy, fax, or scan them, and get back to business fast. Visit your nearby Staples. It's pro time.
Blog Talk Radio.
Challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. I am so honored to be here today. Today is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We'll want to apologize prior to our startup. We keyed in the wrong selection, but that's okay, God. We lied. You know? And I want to just shut it down because sometimes things don't go right. You try to do the best you can and things happen. So what you do, you go on. You shake it off and go on. I encourage you today. When you seem like you're trying to do stuff and stuff don't go right, shake it off and keep going. We want to give all honor and praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to you, my brother and sister, for joining us once again on our weekly internet program here. And I'm excited about what God is doing. We got some. We have a guest that's lined up at the 8:30 hour. This is a morning program, so we are on from 8 in the morning to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. So please lock that into your phone or your iPad or your tablet or whatever it may be and tune in to us each and every week. We have a great lineup of guests, and I'm always excited about what God is doing in the life of His people and what God is doing in your life, because I know that God is up to something. I can feel it. God is up to something in your life and all the life of the believer. Oh, I had a great week last week. I was over at the at Dallas Life. I mentored several men over there, and we had a great mentoring session, and we talk about life, and we talk about experience, and we talk about upcoming events in our life. I'm talking about trying to be reestablished in society, about seeking jobs, having relationships with family and friends, being reconnected. I'm going to put it that way, being reconnected with family and friends, and also making plans to exit that program. It's a 9-month program, but at the end of the 9 months, those young men and ladies have an opportunity to move out and get their own place, and we have been very blessed and successful in assisting some men and women to move out on their own, and I thank God for it. And they call me up from time to time, and they let me know that they're doing well and we're still in a relationship. And that's what it's supposed to be about. You're supposed to build on relationship. Don't just share a little time with me. Come on now, walk with me. Walk with me in this journey of life. You know, I need to know that I'm not alone. I need to know that you have the same problem I have. I need to know that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And I need to salute you when you're doing well, when you've been successful. And when you're not, I need to pick you up. I need to mourn with you. I need to pray with you when things ain't going right, because it could be me. It should have been me. It was me. If you know what I mean, you know. So we want to thank God for this opportunity to speak into the lives of God's people. But as I was saying earlier, this is a very special time of the year here. We're coming up on Thanksgiving and then Christmas. And today I'm going over to the juvenile department and share with our young men what thus says the Lord. Get them a Thanksgiving message to let them know they have a reason to be thankful. Even being incarcerated, they have a reason to be thankful. And as we do the street ministry, we tell those men and women they have a reason to be thankful, because they could be dead and gone, and things could be a lot worse, but we all have a reason. We woke up this morning. That's a reason to be thankful right there. We were able to taste the food that we're eating. That's a reason to be thankful now. But most of all, being thankful for God loving us. You know, Titus 3:3 said at one time we was rebellious, we was foolish, we was haters. We hated one another and we hated ourselves. But when God manifested his love to us and reconciled us to his Father in heaven and washed us and rejuvenated us, and then we became an heir to the heavenly kingdom. Oh, that's awesome now. That's awesome now. Just think about it. After all the things that we had done to ourselves, God still came from heaven to earth. He left the throne of grace and mercy and came to sell by us. He left heaven abode to dwell with sinful men and to let us know that he loves us. Let us know that there's a consequences for our decisions, but let us know that, yet he still loves us. Yes, you got to go through this. Yes, you abuse your body, so now you got some illness, but God is able. Yes, you didn't manage your money. You had to go through some things, but God is able. He kept you until you came into your right mind. He kept you until you realized that you need some help. He kept you. You know, I talk to men all the time, and sometimes occasionally they get a little bitter because they done got better. Now they done got better. They see the consequences of their mishaps and their wayward lifestyle. They say, "Whoa, man, maybe I'm being punished for this." I said, "No, you're not being punished, but things just happen." I remember when Jesus was on the cross and people was hurling insults at him. And some people probably in the crowd were saying that that's what you deserve. And they were saying different things. And he still said, "Father, forgive them." He said, "Father, into your soul, into your hand, I commit my soul." And that's the spirit that we have to have. "Father, I'm sorry for this ill mishap in my life. Please watch over me, protect me, cover me. Give me wisdom, give me insight on these things that are plaguing me." And guess what? God is able to do those things. You listen to Free on the Inside. That call-in number is 310-982-4126. You two could call in and be a part of the show. We have our co-host on the line right now. We're going to bring him in this morning. Good morning, Mr. Daniel.
Good morning, Reverend Lewis. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Well, we have a guest coming up here at the 8:30 hour, but I just wanted to have this time just to reflect on how good God been to us, you know, and his people. Amen. Have come up on this year, this time of year, Thanksgiving, brothers. You were a couple of weeks away from designated time of Thanksgiving in the life of a nation and the life of God's people. I have so many reasons to be thankful, man, just for life and health and strength, just knowing that I'm a friend of God. Just knowing that I have a roof over my head that provided to me by God. I have food on my table that comes from God. I have a reason to be thankful. And I want to share that with our brothers and sisters, too. I'm going over to the juvenile today, as I stated earlier, to share with them what does says the Lord. So what you got up for us today?
Well, I don't have much today, Rem Lewis. Like I'm saying, I'm just glad. We're just blessed to be here today, and like you say, the next week is a special day, you know, and everybody, you know, families are getting together and, you know, recapping how good God has been to us all year. You know, been blessed this year. It's been a pretty hectic year, but still we made it.
Yes, we did. And we have to thank God for that too, brother Dan. You know, and you know, in the life of a Christian, man, we got a lot of ups and downs, man. Our life should be excited. You know, I don't know what tomorrow holds, man, but I pray that I'm ready for it, man, that it don't overtake me. You know, with a car, the health, the family, or finances, every day is an adventure. But You could be rest assured that you're in the presence of the Lord, whether you're on top of the mountain or whether you're in the valley. It's all good.
Amen.
And you know, Brother Daniel, just to recap, we had our outreach ministry meeting yesterday, and we had a nice little turnout. A few people came over, a couple of other people came over, they were interested in the ministry. We pray that we gave them enough information to allow them to be a part of what we're doing. But we had a nice little take, and we were just doing a recap on all the the yearly events that we had done, and I made mention of that we went down to the street ministry a couple of times. I'm talking about us as a ministry on that Saturday, and how you was down there and your wife, and how we had a great time. And I was encouraging the new members, or the potential members, that we're not overly concerned about having enough resources, because we know that we can't meet the needs of all the people that's in need. But we're gonna do our part, and someone else will come along and do their part. And it's a joy to know that we're not in this alone. You know, as we look around down there, you see many people. There's three or four little bitty groups that's always out doing stuff. You know, at the same time where you are out there, somebody else is out there too. And I got to thinking about how the scripture said, "For one plants and one waters, but God gives the increase."
Yeah.
You know? And so we want to thank you and your family for coming out.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for you giving me a chance of doing this. You know, I have a lot of, I got a lot of things that's in the pot. I call it the stew pot. Got a lot of things that I'm trying to do, and basically, they're gonna be put in effect, but I just have to wait on God for them to really get me to. You be seeing the event of it, you know, result of it, what I'm trying to say, you know. And, I think the other day I was looking at the news, how I saw how, you know, this world around here is getting kind of cold, and people got to be aware of the surroundings, that what's going on. You got to protect yourself from this cold around here. You know, we don't want to be, you know, going to, you know, anybody's funeral, you know, that people out here, man.
Yeah,
you're
talking inclement weather. You say, that's so true,
yeah.
Brother.
Yeah, this weather's pretty bad, man, you know, and you got to take care of yourself, man. If you don't have any kind of way of getting shelter, man, you know, I know a lot of people don't have relatives they can go, and let them, you know, spend the night and just get out of some of these freezing cold out here, man. And they got a place downtown that you can go, you know, get off the street, you know.
Yeah, and that's so true.
Cold,
that's so true.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think,
and you know,
why don't
you go ahead and talk about it? What are some of the
every
things that they need for being downtown? What's some of the things they need? What's some of the things they need that, as you, you know, you talk about the inclement weather? What are some of the things that people need?
I believe it's you know, like stuff like shoes and socks, coats. I was looking at the news the other day. I think over there in Industrial Street, it was something like a taco shop. They were giving away free jackets. And this man was giving away free coats, man. You know, that's the main source of protection. You got to protect yourself by having your nice jacket. You know, the jackets are insulated and they keep a lot of cold off of you. The lady says she ran out of coat, but somebody supplied some more coats the next day, and they say it was open to anybody. You come by if you need a jacket. They need a nice, warm jacket. And then the other thing, I believe that's something like a blanket. You need some blankets, coats, blankets, shoes, socks, hats. Keeping your head warm, keeping it warm, keeping your cold off your head. You know, that's basic. That's how I would see, you know. But really, when it starts dropping off in the, you know, 20s and the teens, man, it's real dangerous, because number one, your blood, you know, can't circulate through your body, man, and you get frostbitten, you know, frostbitten your hands and your feet, they get cold. And basically, if any skin that's in the effect of the cold and the blood doesn't circulate to the body, and then you get thermal freezing, you know. Basically, you have to go get your, these paws amputated, man. You know, that's pretty bad, man, you know. And then most times you stand out there at nighttime and basically find them dead, man, you know. That's real tragic, man, you know.
Yeah, but we and that's something that we have to be very mindful for our brothers that's on the street there and sisters, that we want to make sure that they are well clothed, and we want to make sure that they have places to go. I have a book here they call Our Calling, and Our Calling is a outreach ministry that put together a pamphlet of resources that's available, and I give them out to people, and I give them out to our volunteers to, in case people come up and say, hey, I have no place to stay, I have no clothes, and then I have medical needs, and here's a little pamphlet that tells you about the resources that's available for those that are less fortunate. And I think, Ricky, that we all ought to be equipped with information that we could use to help someone in need. I could pray for you, I could lay hands on you, but I could also tell you, go over here, and this place got the resources that will help you with these, with this illness, or with these calamities, or with these mishaps. And I think that's very powerful. Even Jesus, when he prayed for someone, he said, now go and show yourself to the priest. The priest would just validate, hey, everything is all right. When we send someone to a doctor after praying, we want them to have that medical experience from a physician to let them know that this is not the death to them. When someone need a place to stay, we pray for them, and they go to get a place to stay, and we know that God show favor on them because they get this place, they got a roof over their head, they got food, they got resources. Prayer works, Ricky. Prayer works through God's people.
Amen. Prayer works.
You know? Yes, it works.
And not only prayer one way, but in multitudes. The more people together, praying together, I believe the better results.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah. I believe that too. I amen you on that there.
Yeah. Everybody praying together. I think my biggest example is from, you know, Peter, how they're saying he was locked up in jail, and these people somewhere are praying. They was praying without ceasing. And all of a sudden, the angel of God came to Peter and loosened the chains around him and was bound him. And it just opened up the, flung open the prison doors. You know what I'm saying? Let him go.
I like to let him go. You know, that's the name I mentioned, free on the inside, brother Daniel. You know, that speaks volume. People say, you know, you think about it, being free on the inside. But, you know, a lot of us have been held hostage, man, because of our self-worth. We've been held hostage because of our inability to do certain things. We've been held hostage by some of the same people that probably be praying for us. They holding us hostage. Oh, you ain't right here. You never going to be right. Wait a minute. You just prayed to me to be right, and now you're telling me I ain't going to be right. I've been held hostage because I got to get your a validation that I'm okay. And then guess what? You might take that back, and then now I'm back in the same position I was in. No, you have that freedom, brother. You have that freedom to do the thing that God chose for you to do. You got to have that freedom to be, you know, that comes from the inside. And the word said, great is he that dwells in me than he that's in the world, brother. So that Holy Spirit that dwells in you is greater than that, and then that outside voice that's telling you you'll never be worth it. I'm looking at my flyer now that says being free on the inside. And I look at that, and we got jail ministries, and we got juvenile ministry, we got senior citizen ministry, and we got all sorts of different ministries to help God's people along with other ministries that we are part of. And that's that freedom, brother, to know that, hey, I can't do all this, and I don't need to do all this. It takes freedom to know that. Because some people thinking that they're the only one they can do it, and that's the only one they can do it right. And if you ain't there with me, you ain't doing it right. No, brother, you got this thing wrong. And if people don't want to come alongside you, so what?
A lot of people call that control issue.
Yeah.
You know, control. But I believe God gives you the freedom of choice. And basically, I could see that God is not in one place. He's everywhere. He's not in one special
church.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere, man. And we have everywhere. To realize that. We have to realize that God is omnipresent. The same God we serve here in Dallas, he's the same one that's in California, New York, or Florida. We can't say, hey, I left Dallas and now I left the presence of God. No, brother, you got this thing twisted. Our God is everywhere. I'm not present. And we have to realize that the same God that watched over us here is the one that's going to watch over us over there. So when I go to jail, man, these brothers down there, these are killers, man. These are robbers. These are rapists. But I go and I know that God is with me with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not fearful. I'm mindful. I'm cautious. I'm alert. But I'm not going to be fearful. And that's the way we have to go about life, man. Yes, I'm alert. I'm mindful, but I ain't going to be fearful because God be for me. Who could be against me? And, you know, you have to set that as a principle in your life and a good foundation. Because a lot of times, you know, we quote all these beautiful scriptures and know these beautiful scriptures, but we don't want to apply them in our life because soon something happens, we panic. Oh, we don't have enough money. Oh, we don't have enough resources. Oh, we don't have enough this here. No, you don't have enough, and you never will have enough. I come to the conclusion, Ricky, I ain't never got enough for anything. You know what I'm saying? I got gas in the car, but it ain't enough. I got money in the bank, but it ain't enough. I got a house with a roof over my head, but it ain't enough. But I'm going to be content in all things. You know how some people, they get a house, they want a bigger house. You get a car, you want a better car. You got money, you want more money. People, it's never enough. But you got to let them
get a job. They want another job. They want you want a bigger job, more position. They keep pushing.
Yeah.
Pushing. You know.
And you know,
and I believe
and
sometimes you got to just be satisfied with something that God gave you until you know. And, you know, they kind of sometimes you do things in your own flesh. And it's not really of God. That's the way I put it.
Yeah.
A lot of
people
in their flesh, you know, and basically some things people do, God is really not in it. They're just doing it on their own accord, you know. And then also God will let you do it so long, and then eventually he'll knock you on your head to try to wake you up to make you realize you ain't doing it because of me and my power that I put installed on you. Until you're not doing really what I told you to do, and then I'm going to wake you up and understand you've got to go back on this path that I sent you on, you know. And it's a lot of people involved in some of the activities that they do. They're doing it. They do things. They offend people. And a lot of, you know, until, you know, God really be, say, you shake you up and say, hey, listen to me. Get back on track, you know. And when they get back on track, some people might call it repentance. A lot of people and a lot of ministers have to repent. They have to repent and ask God to forgive me because I'm not doing what you really told me to do. So basically, I'm asking God to forgive me. I'm a mighty man of God, but also I got to also ask God to talk to me and ask me to, you know, I'm sorry for not listening to you. You know what I'm saying? You know, everybody got to listen to God. You know?
And that's so true. That's so true, you know. And you know, that's why God will surround us with people like man that you can listen to and draw off of, you know, because no man is an island. We need someone. And that's why I thank God for you because, man, you've been knowing each other a while, and we can tell each other things. And we can tell each other that we're wrong about some things. And we also can validate when someone's right about some things. We're never too high that we just overlook certain things, you know. You're never too low that you don't pay attention. And so that's what you have to do as a Christian, as a believer, just as a friend. You know, because, brother, Dad, you've been with me for quite a while, and, you know, you're a co-host on the program. If you don't call in for weeks or whatever it may be, we don't worry about that. We say, okay, brother, call in when you get a chance. It ain't like, hey, man, you need to be there. If not, I'm moving you on. You know, stuff like that. That's what you talk about, control issues, you know. No, brother, this is all volunteer. I thank God for using me. I may not want to do this sometime, you know. But and that's what ministry is about, man, supporting each other, caring for each other. and then just making room for each other. You know, that's what it is, man. Ministry, you need to make room for your brothers. Because sometimes God blesses us with ministry, with opportunity, and we feel like that we don't have no room for no one else. Oh, no, no, this is my call. I got to do this on my own. Yes, you need to, but your God don't want you to be out there by yourself. Even Moses, great man of God. His brother-in-law spoke, his father-in-law spoke to him and said, Moses, the work is too great for you. You need to get some help. Moses could have said, no, this is God. Being God is all the help I need. Yes, he is. But God also surrounds you with like-minded men and women. And guess what? And this is for you. Can't nobody take it from you. Some people think, oh, they're going to take my anointing. They're going to take my position. They're going to take my ministry. That ain't yours. This is all belong to God.
Mm.
And if they do happen to get a hold to it, they ain't going to use it like you. How often have somebody took something from you and they find out that they don't even work out, they don't even keep it long?
Mm.
They run off with something that belonged to you before you know, man, what happened to that? Oh, I it wasn't no good. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Now, because you tried to get something that wasn't yours and God wouldn't let you have it. We'll take it. We'll get it. But God is not going to honor that or bless that thing. And he'll make that thing so irritated and aggravated to you that you'll let it go.
You have to come,
so,
some
you know,
say you have to come back to earth. You
yeah.
come back to earth. Really, you are on
yeah.
your head. And I think they call it puffed up. Yes, yeah, where we use being puffed up.
Yeah.
A lot of people are puffed
yeah.
up. And, you know, they're
yeah.
puffed up. I'm the greatest this and I'm the greatest. I think everybody, I think even the Pope got to go to somebody, ask somebody.
Yeah.
You know
we
what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's so true. And I'm going to tell you a little secret, brother. When you just talk a little secret, that all the things that I do don't always work out. I done had places to tell me to get up out of here. I done had places to tell me that it ain't going to work. I done had places and people to walk out on me. But guess what? I'm still doing the work of the ministry. Those same people that told me now to get out of here, it ain't going to work, they still trying to find where they fit in at. But I'm still going on with the work at hand. I still encourage those people, hey, brother, come on. You still want to be with me, brother? What's going on? I know things are going to work out for you. I don't ever say nothing bad about them because this is God's business. But I let them know that regardless of what's going on in your life or what people say about you, you've got to continue the path and the plans that God have laid for you. So many times we quit because other people don't agree with what we're doing. They don't support what we're doing. And that's something, that's a soul searching deal. But if God be for you, man, you got to go on with the plan. Remember, people
man.
Walked out on Jesus, but he didn't stop.
Yeah.
He didn't stop. Remember, he went to his own hometown, and they said, hey, wait a minute. We know you and your brothers. You come up here talking about, you know, oh, God, we saw you playing out there in the yard. And then you said that you have this relationship with God, and we older than you, and we have more experience than you. And you telling us this, and he wasn't wrong. But people wasn't quite right. They wasn't ready to hear it now. People will tell you because of your experience and your relationship that you don't have no part of the kingdom or have no part of what God is doing. But you have to stand on God's word. You know, I always say you got to have a thick skin but a soft heart. A thick skin that said that, hey, I'm willing to take the naysayers and all the insults that's coming at me, but I got a soft heart to love them and to go on with the business that God had chose for me.
A lot of people don't understand also, too, Reverend Lewis, that they figure that sometimes because you got God, you're not going to go through things. And you're going to go through trials and tribulations in this walk with Christ because you look at it, Christ did the same thing. You know, it's not going to be all gravy all day. You know what I'm saying? It's all going to be good every day. Everything's going to be, oh, come on, man, I'm not going to. But, you know, you're going to have people talk about you. Like you said, you're going to have people disagreeing with you. You ain't going to have somebody won't come up and won't fight you one day. Reverend Lewis, you know what I'm saying? You know, I know one guy, man, he was up in the church, man. He was out there preaching, man. And somebody came out of the congregation, man, and, you know, tried to hit him. Hit him in the face. You know what I'm saying? What would make somebody just come up? It's just the enemy, really, what it is. Go there. You talk to him. Go there and hit him. Go there and hit him in the face. I just don't like you. You know?
That's crazy, though, Brother Dave. Brother Dave, we got a guest that's going to be calling here in a few minutes. Here, this is Minister Michael Flemings. He's a great community activist and organizer. He's going to come in and share some things with us. He's no stranger to our program, but we thank God that he's going to be with us at the last minute. Our other guests weren't available today, so we will try to bring them back in. But Michael Flemings is going to he's going to come in and lend his voice to the program. And so we want to thank him for what he's doing and what God had laid on his heart. We want to thank all our listening audience for continually to listen to the program. We pray that we're saying something to encourage you to continue the journey that God set you on, that to continue to be obedient to the calling, continue to be steadfast and unmovable, abide in the word of God. You know, we don't take this lightly, Brother Daniel. We've been doing this a number of years, but we always feel like it's our first time because we want to do it unto the Lord. You know, even though we've been doing it for a while, we want it to be fresh and want it to be relevant for such a time as this. We got a lot of things going on in society. We got a lot of things going on in the world. But yet, we want to be mindful of God. We got our guests on the line here. We're going to bring them on. Good morning. This is Minister Lewis. You're on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Carvell Bowen.
Good morning, Mr. Bowen.
Morning?
God bless you.
God bless.
Thank you
God
for
bless.
Calling
good
in.
To be with y'all this morning. Yes,
God
definitely.
Bless you. We're so happy for you to be a part of our weekly internet program, a program to inform you, to encourage you, to challenge you to be about our Father's business, an outreach program for jail, prison, street, and community affairs. So, Mr. Bowen, let us know what's going on in the kingdom that God has put to your hands to do.
Well, right now I'm a community organizer that's working with Texas Organizing Project. But I've been doing many efforts along the way. Been working with Michael Flemings. Dr. Flemings has done a lot of work with many different organizations, and we're trying to carry that on in different manners, trying to, like you said, the outreach to more impoverished communities, marginalized communities, people that are not getting reached out to as much. You know, the churches, they do a good job. We need them in place as the main infrastructure to really hold up the communities. But we got to have people going out to the doors. We got to have people reaching out to people and getting them involved, because that's when the community thrives, is when the community is actually involved. So we have to get out and address people. We've gotten in this society this day, it seems like that we've gotten away from being personable with each other, even our own neighbors. So one thing that I mainly work on is canvassing. I do a lot of different canvassing efforts with different organizations as well as independently for myself. And sometimes it's political-based, but sometimes we have to do it issue-based. Like if there's a certain community that has an issue with, you know, maybe it's West Dallas with some housing issues or something like that, then we get out there and we try to poll the community. We try to get their input as well as their involvement to see if we can, you know, maybe build a coalition or get them involved with a current coalition or whatever group is, you know, working towards that effort. And so just getting the people out, mobilizing the people, that's mainly what I try to focus on, mobilizing people, getting them under, getting them behind different efforts.
Hey, man,
I don't
know.
You know
if, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say I didn't know if Dr. Flemings would add on more or not, but I don't know if he's joined or not this morning.
No, he's not on the line just yet, so but we'll be waiting for him to come in. And so get now, you said something that's very dear to my heart, community organizing, because sometimes we're in a community and we see things are going on, whether it's a trash pickup or whether it's a lot that's not been well maintained or whatever it may be, and we don't know what to do about situations like that. Are you involved in something like that? And if you are, how can we go about resolving this problem in our local community?
Well, the thing about resolving the issues in those local communities is about just seeing who is doing the work first in those communities. You know, if there's a church that's already organized and behind the effort, then maybe other organizations can get out behind that church or whatever coalition has been built behind that effort. You know, Texas Organizing Project, they're a social justice organization, and they try to get behind different efforts that are already going on as well as the ones that they're fighting for as well. But and I maybe say the last part of your question one more time, so I don't want to miss answering exactly what you had asked me.
Oh, I said, how could we as a community, as a someone that's that need that have a concern, address these needs that's in our community? How can we get involved? Right now, it's gun violence. At night, you can hear gunshots all over. I'm concerned about that. Who do I need to address that besides my local police officer? Is there other communities, other activists, or other agencies that are addressing those needs, to maybe reaching out to our young men and women or whoever could be causing this?
Well, the first thing I would always encourage. Most definitely. Like I say, a lot of times I use the word coalition a lot because sometimes you have an issue, like say if there's shootings in South Dallas, then you might have three or four organizations over there that have already gotten together to try to initiate some efforts. I don't know. It might be some small things like town halls that they start off with or something like that. I mean, it has to start with that because you have to start with getting people together. You know, if you're talking about just the individual that lives on the street that's hearing the shootings, they, you know, if nobody has reached out to them, they have to reach out. And I always encourage them reaching out to, you know, whatever church is in the area first, if they have good leadership, all like that, try to get them involved. And then usually the church will carry it on to a bigger level, like a coalition of people, coalition of churches or other organizations. But you have, like I say, as far as just that community level issue stuff, I would have to say organizations like Texas Organizing Project fight for those type of issues. You have other organizations out there that fight for issues of the community. I think Next Generation Action Network is one that's seen on TV a lot.
Right, yeah, we're familiar with them.
Yeah, I think they're mainly towards like police brutality and shootings, but I know they have other divisions going on, a division called Excel, where they're trying to do some community level stuff for the youth. And but I mean, honestly, it comes down to maybe like it may just be a neighborhood association is really the most effective when you have the actual community members getting together. You know, if you have a HOA or a neighborhood association that's in that area,
yes,
I would suggest that those groups are knocking doors first before anybody. Like, honestly, you know, churches, I feel, should have outreach programs where they're trying to, you know, if they know it's an issue in their community, if I'm a church in South Dallas and I know that we have certain issues going on, I would be trying to get, you know, not just my church members out, but more community members out focused around that issue, you know, whether it just be a general meeting, getting people's input. Once people give their input, then they feel more involved to actually participate and take on other efforts. But their input has to be asked for first. Hello?
Okay. All right. Hey, yeah, you know what? You gave me some good. Excuse me. You gave me some good information there. We have Brother Daniel on the line here. Brother Daniel, you had a question?
Yeah, I got a question to ask. Hello, how are you doing today, sir? My name is Reverend Daniel, and I need to ask you a question. Now, I've been living in Dallas, man, all my life. And I live in certain areas around. I know that, you know, I know everybody almost around this area because I have worked at a high school over there in South Dallas. And basically, a lot of those kids, man, they kind of got real close to me. And I know a lot of their family members and their grandkids. So what I'm saying is, for the past 8 or 9 months, I've been noticing that South Dallas basically seems to be receding into a real bad pitfalls of crime issues. You know what I'm saying? I see a lot of drug stuff being done. I see a lot of community stuff like this car wash up there on Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. I see a lot of, you know, gang activities that goes on from the north, East Dallas to the Pleasant Grove situation. And also I'm seeing a lot of influx of a lot of Anglo people that basically is coming into South Dallas. And basically, I don't know what's going on
And they had a drive-by a couple of days ago that this older lady was shot by some people that came by her house. And, you know, and things like this issue is getting out of hand, that people basically cannot enjoy life without having to walk around and being fearful, and the elderly people, and the kids too, that this stuff is going on, and I cannot live my life in freedom without being, I'm not saying being fearful, but you got to be leery of stuff that's happening around you. So what do you think that can be done in order to address some of these things that have been happening?
Well, I would like to speak to that and say that we have to use the police. We have to call the police. First of all, a lot of our community members have gotten away from calling the police. So we have to call the police, but at the same time, we have to have groups that are watching the police to make sure that they're policing our communities correctly. So, but immediately, the members of those communities, they have to speak up. I wouldn't advise somebody to directly speak up to a person that's, cutting up out there like that, or, performing dangerous, violent acts. But you have to say something. That's where it starts. It starts with saying something. So if we don't have community members coming out looking for their neighborhood association, calling the police, going out to town hall meetings when there's meetings going on about these issues, then that's part of the problem as well. We have to have the people coming out. And if the people don't know, then we have to have these organizations and these groups going to the people and letting them know about it. I try to work with a lot of neighborhood associations, and I try to tell them, go out in your neighborhoods and put literature on these people's doors. Let them know that you exist. Let them know you have an organization and you're meeting, and it's for them. This is, it's their organization. It's their community. But, to take care of the violence, we have to have police involved. We can't, there are other efforts that I'm looking into getting into as well, like community policing. I think we need to build that back up. Something similar to what when I say this, I know people get apprehensive, but like the Black Panthers, kind of like what they were doing. There has to be efforts. We have to be standing up for ourselves in some sort of fashion. And when I say that, I mean like as far as just speaking up when we see something and all of that.
And I agree with you. See something, say something, be involved in life. And I like what you were saying. I like that line of community. We have to be active, and we have to be responsible for our neighborhood. Even though we may see things fall down, Brother Daniel, I know what you're saying, but sometimes we feel powerless. And so coalition, bringing the community together, bringing our spiritual leaders together, bringing our community head organizers together. I like what you're saying on that. We have Minister Fleming on the line. He's going to chime in on what we're discussing. Mr. Flemish, you on the net?
Yes, sir, Mr. Lewis. Gracious. I'm sitting here listening. I was listening to you guys, you and Brother Daniel, earlier. We're talking about how sometimes the church, and I'm not talking about no denominations, because God didn't create any denominations. I remember Apostle Paul saying, don't you know that you are the tabernacle, the church of the living God. He dwells in you. And I want you to go, there go you therefore, the Great Commission, to go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the world. It is an ever-widening and enlarging territory. God said, enlarge your territory, because God wants to manifest his power, his grace, and his mercy, and he chose to work through us. And so if we become pure sinners, then the powers of be are taking over our communities. And God said, we have to take it by force. So I knew where to go first, a long time, to the Sinai District, the Primitive Baptist Church, and we came together. And Mr. Joe has been doing a wonderful work in the community, and organizing, and going down to the juvenile youth circumstances and so forth, to attend to our children, who are looking for love, and looking for a healer, the power, and on the streets, seeking out the lost. because Jesus gave up everything. He came down and entered himself to be a servant. He left the 99 to find the one lost sheep. And we have many lost sheep. And people are hurting, lost, and lonely among many, and looking for a shepherd. And all our shepherds are sitting in a building demanding that they have a car bought for them, demanding that we raise money for them.
You're saying something there, Mr. Fleming. I agree with you on that there. So, and that is so true there. And I like, Mr. Fleming, I love what you're doing because you have your hand on the pulse of society and the community, and you're attempting to make a difference, but you're not doing this alone. I like it how you continue to bring other people in to what you're doing, and that power in number. And I will guest this on today, and I'm afraid I didn't catch your name, sir. What's your name?
Oh, his name Carvel Bowen.
Mr. Yes. Bowen, Brother Bowen, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Brother Bowen, now, exactly. Now, what is your organization that you're with, or what are you doing? Because I know you said it briefly, but for the recap for our listening audience, some people just tune in. What? Give us some information regarding you and your organization, or who are you a part of?
Well, currently, I'm working with Texas Organizing Project, and I say that because that is one of the more well-known groups in the area. They've collaborated with other groups on many different initiatives. They're right now working on things for the mass incarceration. But as far as the community level events, I'm getting with Minister Fleming, and right now I'm working on a strategy group that's surrounded around canvassing and actually getting out to the doors. And we're hoping to do that for many different reasons, but primarily for, you know, getting people out for these issues. That's what we're trying to do. We have to get the people out. If the people are abandoning the assembly, like kind of like what the Bible says, you can't afford to abandon the assembly because, I mean, that's where your power is at when the people come together.
Now, when you're saying that you're going out canvassing, when you say you're going out canvassing, are you trying to get a pulse on the feeling of, hey, you go up there and you say, hey, these are some issues what are issues do you want to address in the neighborhood? That's the kind of canvassing you're doing? Are you trying to let people know that, hey, we having a meeting or a coalition is being formed? Would you like to come out? Exactly what are you doing when you're canvassing?
Well, it's all of that. It's exactly everything that you said plus more. I mean, like you said, you started out with get a pulse. That's first of all, we got to get a pulse, period. We got to make sure these people are alive. You know,
I like that.
We got to have the people. We got to assemble together. If we're not assembled together, and kind of like what Mr. Fleming was saying, if you have a shepherd that, you know, has a church or whatever, and if they're losing people, parishioners, you know, part of the congregation, they need to be going out, searching those people back out. You know, there needs to be efforts to bring people into organizations. And we have to do that. Our society has gotten into individualism. We've gone away from the whole community. We don't believe in community anymore. We don't believe in being friendly to our neighbors anymore. All of that stuff.
That is so true. I'm sorry, but I was just thinking about how a few years ago I got in with a Habitat. You know, Habitat men, they were coming in and they were actually building some ramps for senior citizens in our neighborhood in Joppy, and it was right across the street from our church. And I thought, I was thinking about, why do other organizations, other groups have to come in your community and do the thing that you ought to be doing? Why don't you partner with them? You don't have the resources or the connection, but find out what they're doing and how you can be involved in it. And sure enough, when I started asking them and saying what they would love to, they said, well, we're willing to give you the resources if you're willing to target people. We make sure that their homes are on, that everything is clear, Tyler, you know, but we want to be an assistance to our elderly and disabled residents. But we need churches to take over this. We don't want to do this. We want other churches to do it. And, you know, come to find out that many churches want to be involved in that. They said, well, we don't want to do that there. No, man, these people, they got the resources. They got the connections. They're looking for laborers to do this. They got people that got money that say, hey, we're willing to pour into a neighborhood if we can find an organization that's willing to do the thing that the organization, that the community needs. We want our community to be valid.
Exactly. I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I just wanted to chime in on that just real quick because what you just said just then, That's exactly what's needed. If the church, if your church is too small to actually start a program like that, just partner with the people that have the resources. But what the church can do is go out and knock on the doors and talk to the people and find out who needs the services, who can use the services the most, you know, all like that. Just that's all that has to be done.
And it's true. I done that. You know, and then they even say, hey, if you know anybody that will that need this here, we'll just make sure that the house is there because we don't want to do something and end up losing the house. And we're willing to come in, and we've had people homes remodel, senior citizens that lived in the house for so many years, and they own the house, come in there, put new doors on, paint the exterior, paint the interior, put new cabinets in, and all those things there just cause just cause you target them and God show favor to you. And through an organization to do things like that. So I know what you mean. I know it works.
Yes, sir. But it has to be people that stay on top of it. You know, I think that a lot of us lose our fervor sometimes because, you know, there is a lot of, you know, stressors now and a lot of discouragement that happens just from the way that people react, just from when you approach them sometimes. You know, the way that people feel about the church in this day and age now and the way they feel about, you know, neighborly love and community and all like that. The people are backing away from those values. So it is making it harder to connect with the people, but that's the only thing we have left to keep our communities intact is trying to keep connected with the people. You know, like you were saying earlier, the canvassing efforts that I want to do with Dr. Fleming and, you know, everybody else, other organizations, I want to make sure that we're just still trying to reach out to the people. Like you said, like you started off the show with outreach. You know, it has to be about that. We can't let that go. If we let that go, if the organizations let that go and the churches let that go, then it's all over with. There will be no community anymore.
Oh, that is so true. And you know what? You said something earlier, too, about the mass incarceration. I do jail ministry downtown and also the prison. And I see the recidivism rate, how the brothers are continually to come in and out, and it breaks my heart. And I said, don't you believe in what's going on? But they said, we believe, but the resources are there, and the organizations are not there. I believe in God, but when I get out of here, I have no one to assist me in these efforts. And I like that. I like that because our brothers get out, they don't have no license, they don't have no place to stay, they limited in where they could go, and then we want them to be successful. How can you be successful when I can't sleep at night? I don't have no food on my table. My family don't need me no more because the wife, she done been paying bills so many years without me, so now I'm a burden. I'm like a child now. I go home, she telling me I'm eating too much, telling me to go to bed. You know? And so, and I like that what you said.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is if we can get the churches back to just focusing on their neighborhoods again, if we can just get the, you know, with the number of churches we have, if we can just get our churches just focused on servicing certain, you know, communities, certain, you know, blocks, you know, anything like that, certain streets, whatever, their vicinity.
Can I add a point to what I'm saying? Okay, now, a lot of y'all, I really don't know what's going on between you know, the South Dallas area. You know what's going on?
I'm listening.
Okay. There's a plight down in South Dallas to basically they want to buy back these properties in South Dallas and refurbish this land around and the fair part. And so what's happening now, you know, close to 20 years ago, the property is Choice Real Estate, and the houses and the homes and, you know, and the surrounding areas were real bad shape. So what happened was a lot of these people that was in the community, leaders and stuff, they kind of, you know, worked against the cause in order to try to, you know, get some of these profits that was coming in this land. So what happened, in came the drugs and in came the gangs and in came the investors after the properties got devaluated. You know what I'm saying? So right now what's happening now is Choice Real Estate and there's a there was a first a white flight, and now there's a white influx. You know what I'm saying? They want to come back and claim what used to be theirs, but they gave away, and now we didn't take care of, and now they want to come back.
Well, that, that's
so
what I thought you were talking
what we
about.
Have now, we have the churches that's around in these areas. I could see about 40 or 50 different churches in their neighborhood over there, but I could see that why didn't the people realize what was happening a long time ago?
Well, see, and I'm glad you brought that up.
I just want to give some clarification on that. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, he's talking about gentrification that's going on in South Dallas, and that's exactly what's happening. I mean, the thing about it is the way that we can directly combat that right now, like he said, all those churches we have in South Dallas, we need to have a mobile effort where we just get those churches, just get out and knock on the doors of the streets that surround your church and make sure, like you were talking about earlier, see if these people own their homes. Try to give them a little encouragement, a little bit of information on how not to just sell their home cheap, but, you know, look at a couple of different things before they enter a contract into selling their home to somebody or something like that. Give them, you know, a connection. I don't know anybody who's directly, I mean, I know a couple of people that are working with housing efforts, but I haven't seen the, you know, any organization that's really helping our impoverished people. You know, that's what I'm scared about, because a lot of these organizations that deal with the housing efforts, it seems like they're kind of also working with the white people who are doing the gentrification. I hate to say it like that. I don't want to accuse anybody of anything, but, you know, I haven't seen anybody really helping from their heart. Like the big CDC, the corporate development corporations, all this stuff. I don't know. I wouldn't advise to go directly to one of them, but I would advise our churches to educate the people on not selling their properties.
And that's so true. I tell you, we're about ready to end this here program here. We're going to sign off here at the 9 o'clock hour. But I want to thank you for being a guest on the program. And I like the line of conversation that we're having this morning. We're seeing a need, and we're having some people and some organizations that's addressing those needs. Sometimes we just want to throw our hands up and holler. But yet we don't have to do that. We can be involved in the life of a community. We can make a difference. You know, as we talk about how good God is, we not only need to talk about it, but we need to be about our Father's business. And I want to thank you and Minister Fleming and everyone else that's working with you to make a difference in the life of the community. Organization, canvassing, looking and see where the needs are, taking a puzzle. Like you say, you want to make sure there's still life in the community. I love that right there, taking a puzzle and just making sure. What are you concerned with? Sometimes I learned a long time ago, I go in there trying to do something that people ain't concerned about. Why would I want, you know, you talk about this lot is over there, but yet you got houses that's been taken over. You know, sometimes we focus it on the wrong thing, but when you see what the community is about, you get more people that's willing to be involved in it. And that's the way you start things. So thank you for what you're doing. Hey, I'd love for you to tell me more about this. I have your number here. I'd like to call you offline and we talk more about this here, because I'm very committed and sincere about this, because if it had not been for people like yourselves and people like I wouldn't be where I am today. I'm talking about incarceration. I was in jail. I was on my way to prison, homelessness, life of the community. I remember when I grew up that our mother, she struggled with some finance, single parent, and we could always go to our church, and the church had those resources. Like they got food banks now. Really, the food bank used to be the church. Family used to go to the church or the local community and get resources that you need. And you didn't need a whole lot of paperwork. They knew that you were part of the community, and we knew that once we got better that we was to support those organizations that supported us. People now don't have a sense of connection, like you stated earlier. We don't seem like we're a part of nothing. We need to get that back.
Yes, most definitely. I thank y'all for having me on the show, and I just want to say what you said, definitely give me a call. I want to work with everybody. I think that me and Mr. Flemings, I think that we have some good ideas that maybe we can help the different churches, maybe we can come up with a way to come up with an effort all together, maybe, and build a coalition or something, and actually build a big, massive canvas where we go out to the whole South Dallas or something like that and give out some information. And, because a lot of times people aren't concerned until they have that first conversation.
Yeah.
And so.
And then sometimes people feel like they're the only one concerned until they find out that other people got a whole list of people that got their neighbors there. You mean they concerned mm-hmm. with it too? So I understand what you're saying. I understand, and I pray that everything's going well, that you'll be very successful at what you're doing, and that your ministry, your organization makes a difference in the lives of the community.
Thank you. Blessings to everyone. Thank y'all for having us today. And we'll definitely be working with y'all.
All right. God bless you. Thank you. What a great conversation that we had here. And we want to thank Minister Fleming for inviting our guest on this morning. Brother Daniel, thank you very much for the powerful comment and observation that you made this morning. And we're getting ready to log off here. And we want to thank you once again. Listen, audience, the phone bank was filled up. A lot of people listened to the program. And you, too, can go back and listen to this program in its entirety in our archive section, free on the inside, / Lewis and Joel Lewis, and go back and listen to this program and be encouraged. The our guest is very active in the community. I'm afraid that I can't give you his number because he didn't give it to me to give to you. So we just have to ask him to come up.
Oh.
Hey, do you have a number, sir? Do you have a number?
I'm sorry about that. Yes, sir.
Tell us your name, and then your number.
Okay, I'm sorry about that, everyone. My name is Carvell. It's Carvell, last name Bowens, Bowens, and you can give me a call at 972-997-1026. And if anybody does use Instagram that's listening out there, they can find me at activist1914, just the word activist itself, 1914. And, you know, you can find me by my name on Facebook, Carvell Bowens. You can send me a message on there if you need to, or you can reach out directly to me.
Hey, man. Well, God bless you, Mr. Boyd. You've been a great guest. We look forward to having you come back again to keep us up to date on what's going on and some things that we need to do to assist you in the community and some things that we may be aware of that I can give some people some information that they could use on to get them confident and peace and let them know that they're not in this by themselves. Minister Fleming, God bless you. Thank you. You know I'm going to talk to you again offline. Brother Daniel, you have a great day in the Lord, and thank you for your comments. Thank you for supporting this program each and every week. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you, dear Lord, for our guest on this morning, Mr. Barnell, dear Lord, how he have a desire and a need, dear Lord, to reach into our community. Dear Lord, our community is hurting. Dear Lord, we need some help on some things. We need faithful men, dear Lord, that's willing to go beyond themselves, dear Lord, and reach into the lives of others. Dear Lord, we pray that you give him the resource he needs. You surround him with like-minded people, dear Lord. Let what they do make a difference in the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, as we get ready to end this program, we ask you to be with each and every one of us. Let us have a blessed day. Let us be a blessing to someone. In turn, let the blessing come back to us, and we promptly give you the praise and the glory. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You listen to another great show of Free on the Inside. Enjoy the balance of your day. Amen.